All right, welcome to Season 2, Episode 29, also known as Episode 61 of the Retro Game Club podcast. I am Hugh, and joining me, someone who will only be available until March 31st, 2021, Rob.
Yeah, I'm limited run, apparently. I'm free on Switch Online, though.
Yes, going into the vault after March 31st.
Yeah. If somehow any listener doesn't get that joke yet, you will later in the episode.
Yeah, that's definitely the most bizarre story of the week.
Yeah. So what's been going on? I feel like it's been a while since we've talked.
Yeah, I think it has been. Yeah. So I pre-ordered that Mario 3D All-Stars game.
Same. Yep.
I think I did it on Amazon, so I will be getting a physical copy. Even though I think I own all three games on the collection already, but I guess they will be upscaled or whatever.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. I'm still playing that Crisis Core game, which is not bad. I mean, it's sort of weird because Crisis Core is sort of like, it's like a mashup of Kingdom Hearts and Phantasy Star Online, which independently are two games I don't like at all.
Okay.
I like Phantasy Star. Yeah, Phantasy Star Online, I won't say I don't like it all, but I like the soundtrack, but the actual, like, where you're like, hey, do this stage 10 times, right? Kind of thing that Phantasy Star Online and Phantasy Star Zeros, I think, even worse at it.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy that part of the game. And Kingdom Hearts, I don't really, like, I don't understand the story, and I don't really understand how you're controlling the characters. Crisis Core is really like those two games kind of merged, except it somehow is only like the good parts of those games.
Okay. All right. Huh. So you're saying you like this game is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I highly recommend if you have a PSP, and you don't own Crisis Core, that's kind of probably surprising because it's one of those games I think you can still buy new from Square Enix. You're familiar with the Square Enix store, right?
Yes. I wasn't until you told me about it, though.
Yeah. So I'm going to check right now. I bet you can buy that new for like $4.99. PC physical, all platforms. You know what? I will not search for this right now. What have you been up to?
Oh, man. Same old as all the previous episodes since the pandemic started. But I really got away from Final Fantasy Remake only because my only time to play that is kind of late at night and I've just been kind of exhausted and the game's kind of not relaxing to me. I want to finish it, but it doesn't relax me, you know?
Okay.
And
is it because there's not a lot of just sort of random exploration?
I think so. I like for modern games, I kind of like the sneaking around. And kind of the sneaky games, you know, or the button mashers. That's why I'm really excited for that new Zelda game, the Hyrule Warriors prequel to Breath of the Wild that got announced. Like, that's right up my alley. I'm going to finish Final Fantasy, but the first half of it, I'm two-thirds of the way through, I'm going to finish it. But the first half of it, I didn't, I mentioned this last episode. Anytime I died, I just started right there. I didn't go back to last checkpoint to keep all my experience. Well, I started doing that at the tower, and I got really far after that. But apparently, their checkpoints aren't close at all. So when I died at that little boss, he's like a little guy that kills you almost immediately. Looks like a little goblin Yoda.
Oh, he's got a name, the knife guy. Yeah.
Yes. He murdered me, and I was like, I want to keep this experience. I've been playing a while. It started me so far back that I was just kind of like, you know what? I'm done for now.
Yeah. And even if you save a lot, it doesn't seem to help. Because I know I died like once, and I'm like, well, don't worry. I saved right before this fight. And then when I went to load that save game, it didn't load it where I saved. It loaded back at the checkpoint.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, I was like, but I was all the way here.
That's really frustrating. That's good to know, because that's one thing. After I did that, I was thinking, like, I could have just reloaded, but good. At least I'm not as big as an idiot as I thought. But so I jumped back to that Lonely Mountain Downhill game for Switch. I think it's for other things, okay, but I'm playing on Switch. I think it's my game of the year.
Okay.
It's really relaxing. It's really fun. It's one of those... It has the civilization effect of just one more turn. Because it's funny, we were just talking about checkpoints. The checkpoints in it are literally like 20 seconds apart. And your timer restarts every time you go back to a checkpoint. So you're trying to get down the mountain as fast as possible, but you could die as many times as you want and still get the same time. It's kind of hard to explain. But yeah, it's like the Dark Souls of biking meets California games for 2600. I love it. Seriously, I can't recommend this game enough. So, but yeah, that's been about it.
So just as a side note, I did attempt to start Shenmue 1 and 2 on PlayStation 4. It's funny, like, I remember Shenmue as being a game I liked a lot. And I loaded it up and started playing it. And after the first scene, I said, eh, you know what? Not ready to start this yet. Like, something about, like, we're recording this on Dreamcast Day. But the voice acting was just so terrible, I turned it off. And I thought, oh, that's right, this was pretty corny and bad. But because it was 1999,
it blew your mind.
It was like super groundbreaking and looked awesome. But the upscaled PS4 version, it's just upscaled. Like, it's not a remake.
Yeah.
And they definitely didn't re-record the voice acting. And I said, I don't know if I can do this. That said, I probably will go back and do it. Because I did legitimately like Shenmue, or at least I really think I did.
Yeah, you have to wait till there's... You probably have to wait till you get down a few of your stack of games that you're wanting to play right now to be excited for that one, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. And maybe I'll see. I'll probably give it another shot. Because I actually do want to finish Shenmue 1 and 2 just to decide if I want to get Part 3, because it seems like Part 3 is already on sale everywhere.
Not surprising. Yeah. It got mixed reviews, but... yeah, not really my thing, I guess. But, yeah, we got a good amount of news this week, and we're actually saving a lot for next week, too, so...
Are we? Yes. Yes, we are. So I want to start things off by talking about a Kickstarter, and I want to get the author of this game on the show, hopefully next episode. There is a new NES game under development called Doodle World. This is actually further along than I think the Kickstarter is even letting on. I believe this game is nearly complete. And this is by Nate Peters, who I know is a listener of the show, and maybe some other listeners have also know. And this is his first homebrew project, and it's inspired by some artwork that his kid came up with. This is why it looks kind of like a kid's game. Like, graphically, it looks like, you know, a game like if you were bored in school and you would draw, like, a level in your notepad or something. Did you ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
I probably did that all the way up through senior year. And possibly parts of college.
Yeah.
And that's what this looks like. I mean, it looks like notepaper, and it's a platformer. Looks really great.
I have to say that the backgrounds in this game just look amazing. Like, the notebook background looks like a notebook, where he didn't just have a white background with blue lines. It's like the perfect amount of faded around the edges blue. He just did a great job with this game. Yeah. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's kind of proof that, like, a game can look really good without having, you know, like, professional art, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a really good look, because it looks like it's like a kid's, again, it looks like a kid's drawing, except it's really good.
Yeah, yeah. The pledges in this for Kickstarter are very fair as well. You get a lot for what you're paying for. And
yeah, it's already almost at its goal. So, he's only looking for $5,000. He has $4,700 already. I think getting the last $300 is going to be pretty easy. If you want a physical copy of the game with box, it is only $50. I've seen a lot of other Kickstarters where, like, $50 is just the loose card.
Yeah.
And it goes all the way up to $100 if you want some extra, signed certificate, that kind of stuff.
But if you just want the game, it's way cheaper than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of options here. Yeah, what a charming.
Yeah, and this, I did actually talk to him a little bit beforehand. And, like, there's a demo ROM, which, depending what emulator you're using, may or may not work because it uses, like, I'm not an expert on NES mappers, but it uses a mapper that works on real hardware, but not every emulator supports. I guess maybe not a lot of games used it.
Oh.
But if you're using, like, RetroArch, you should have something compatible. I was trying it on, like, a very, very old version of FCE.
XCE.
But yeah, 29 days to go. And I think I'd like to get Nate on the show to talk about, you know, the development of this and, you know, inspiration and a little bit about, like, you know, what you can expect from the game.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds cool. Well, cool. Yeah, he might even hit goal while we're recording, which would be awesome.
Yeah, pretty close. I mean, it's only a few backers away at this point.
Yeah, that's cool. So I hope a lot of our listeners jump on this.
Yeah, I've already signed up for one of the physical copies. And, let's see here. BuildBot and GitHub are mostly restored. This is about RetroArch. GitHub's fine.
GitHub is fine, yes. Unless you're RetroArch. So yeah, just a... little update from our story last time, kind of depressing story last time. This is kind of old news now from the 27th that they got everything back up. They're not, the latest version is 1.9.0, and that's all they're going back to. So no more old versions. So whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I you probably don't want an old version anyways.
Yeah. So, they're still kind of, reeling a little bit from this, and, not every single core is up there, but they got pretty much everything, and they got a huge Patreon influx from this. So they're able to do what they couldn't before. So I guess that's a silver lining, huh?
Yeah. I guess something good, right? Something, if just one good thing came of it, I guess. I mean, it's not, I'm sure they would prefer for this never to have happened, but I guess a good thing came out of it.
Yeah. And I hope karma catches up to whoever was nefarious and did all this.
Now, if you were like a conspiracy nut, you could claim they did it to themselves to get their Patreon going.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not like that. I did download a conspiracy theory podcast, though, even though it's not usually my thing. It's the one about... It's like a 6-part series about whether or not the CIA wrote the song Winds of Change by the Scorpions.
Oh, man. I never heard this conspiracy song. I'm going to have to check out this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to hear it. It sounds pretty interesting.
What do we got next? We got an At Games home arcade cabinet.
Okay.
301.
Boy.
Mixed feelings about this one. It looks like it's
good
hardware.
Yeah, I do too, because I'm not... At Games is...
It's sometimes...
What's the word I'm thinking of? You know, their quality is maybe not the best.
Yeah.
Like, I own a lot of At Games devices. And... Really, none of them are particular. They're all cheap, and they're not, you know.
Well,
like, so, I say about At Games all the time, you get what you pay for. Like, you know what you're getting when you buy something from them.
Well, it looks like the control panel and the screen is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone through the list of games at all?
No, but I... First of all, I mean, they've got... Was At Games the one who... They were selling, like, one of these other arcade systems. Like, you plug it into your TV and it's got arcade games, but it was actually the NES ROMs.
I think that was at Games. I think that was
kind of sounds like them. Yeah.
A lot of these are now they call either the console port or the arcade, the original arcade version. And,
Okay. Most, so at Games is the company I was thinking of. So I'm not slandering them.
Most of the games are throwaway games. Now there's some, I would say probably there's 30 to 50 games that you would actually like to play. But,
Right, because you're doing a bulk licensing and you're reaching out to kind of small, you know, smaller companies in some cases, or people who just happen to own like a big pool of IP. I mean, a lot of these, like, I see Bad Dudes on there, and I like Bad Dudes. It's kind of fun for a little while, but like they will license Bad Dudes to anybody.
Yep. How about Pop Farmer? Pop. That's
which
not
one?
Even Farmer. Pop Flammer, number 175.
Uh huh.
Pop Flammer.
Flammer? What is that?
I don't know. But then you got like Pong on here. Like, you're not going to actually play Pong more than once.
No, you are not going to. Oh. So, Pop Flammer is indeed a game by Jalco. And I have never seen this game before.
Does it look amazing?
It does not.
How about Squirrel King? Is Squirrel King a game you know?
Hold on, I gotta get down there. How far is that?
221.
21?
221.
221, okay. I was going
for a Mega Drive and Super NES game.
So I've heard of Squirrel King. Space Gun, I have not heard of. Oh, Sword Quest. Those are Atari 2600 games.
Yeah, Yar's Revenge, Yar's Return. You don't need these. You don't need them.
Yeah, so most of these are not even arcade games.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's nice that they have Tron on there, and they also do have the spinner that you need for Tron, so that's kind of neat.
Water Speedbook. Margin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Zippy Bug.
So these are $600.
That's insane. That's crazy. Now, you can... Yeah, Zippy Bug actually doesn't look too bad. It kind of looks fun. I'm watching a video right now. Wow, this game actually looks pretty interesting. Anyway, let me close this so I could actually talk. You can rewind and pause, so most arcade systems you can't, so I guess that's a plus.
Uh-huh.
And that's about the only plus in this. $600, that's crazy talk.
Mm-hmm. For essentially a Raspberry Pi with a bunch of games you don't want.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
All right, let's move on to better news.
Yes.
Canceled Spellcaster fighting game. Have you played Spellcaster?
No. I don't know anything about it, really.
Actually, this is not the game I was thinking of either.
Okay, so this is a fighting game that was going to be for Genesis where, you know, like a 2D fighter, but your combos cast a spell on the other person, and the combos, every time you click a button in the combo, it makes a musical note. So you memorize, A, it helps you with the rhythm of the combo, and B, you kind of memorize the sounds of it where it makes the song, which... cast the spell against the guy you're fighting. And it sounds like a really cool idea. And it was only a game pitch. There's only artwork. There was no coding done with this. But
yeah, because I'm sort of confused because Sega made a game called Spellcaster for the Sega Master System. And then they made a sequel for that called Mystic Defender. They're completely, not completely, but they're very different games.
Mm.
And this looks nothing like either of them.
I think this looks great. I mean, I would play this.
Yeah, I don't think it looks bad. I'm mostly confused about the name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because maybe it doesn't seem related to the other two things called Spellcaster. Well, one thing's called Spellcaster and the other one isn't.
Maybe they just didn't know about that game when they named it or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Wonder Boy 4, which is Wonder Boy Asha in Monster World, is getting a modern port, apparently.
Now, I can't remember. Did the original version of this have a U.S. release, or was this like a Brazil-only game?
Let us see. Monster World 4. Mega Drive.
It's so for Mega Drive.
Not here, yeah.
Yeah, it was in... The thing that was weird is I remember... So I'm pretty sure there is a... a Brazilian version of this, but they swapped out the character for, like, some cartoon character in Brazil.
Oh, like a licensed character?
Yeah. These are things, if I had read the notes ahead of time, I would know.
I mean, it looks like... This looks really good, actually, and it, it looks like it has, what was that? I just played one of these on Switch. I forget which one. But,
let's see.
It's like it's getting kind of the same treatment. Yeah, I might have to get this. This looks fun.
Yeah, I do like this series.
Yeah, yeah, and I like that they make it so you could play it, you know, with your old style graphics as well.
Yeah.
Flip between the two. I don't know if I can pronounce the next one.
Yeah. I'll give it a shot. Archegos Revolution. So this is a new shooter for the Mega Drive. I want to include this one because the developer on this is really great. He's done a lot of really amazing Genesis tech demos. Also wrote a sound driver for the Genesis. I've used the sound driver. So it's done by a very, very good programmer. And they have it up for sale for $14.99. To get a virtual copy. So they're selling it over, I guess, itch.io, which I usually don't think of as selling Genesis games, but I guess you can. And the demos looks pretty amazing. It looks really, really good. And you can also buy a boxed edition, too.
Yeah, for 45 euros, which it seems very fair.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I happen to know that the developer behind this really knows what they're doing. So... I expect this will be a good game.
Yeah, there's some really good videos on this. It looks like a really smooth game. Like if this came out when Genesis was still being made, it'd probably be, you know, one of its best sellers. What else? So we got a lot of weird news this week. A lot of stuff that I almost didn't put in the news, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to bury any stories, if you could call them stories, but. This one is, today I learned my baby's Fisher-Price gamepad accepts the Konami code. So
okay.
Apparently in this Fisher-Price gamepad that is apparently a baby toy, if you do the up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, at the end of it, it makes some like Mario-type noise, like a Mario jump, a Mario mushroom power-up, a Mario coin, and a you win.
Uh-huh. So this is not actually... like a gamepad. This is a thing you give your kid while you're playing PlayStation. So I guess they feel like they're playing along.
Yep.
Okay, as a parent, I can tell you this will not work.
No, you have to give them the same controller you have.
Exactly. You have to give them a broken controller that matches the one you have.
Yeah. Now my daughter, who is almost two... she just hides my PS4 controllers now.
Okay.
That's her thing. So she would not be fooled by this.
No. There's no way your kid is going to be fooled by this controller.
But I do like that they actually... One, they put that code in this. And two, the guy actually tested it out. Hackaday has a story about a miniature faux floppy for 8-bit Atari.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sorry, go on.
No, I didn't read this yet. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. So this is, it's made out of, it's programmed with Arduino IDE, so you can actually hack this thing.
Okay.
So, it just comes with the board, and, it's pretty much an SD card instead of a floppy, converter thing. But, you can hack it yourself, you can print a 3D case for it, you can 3D print a case for it, but yeah, not for me because I don't have an 8-bit Atari, yeah. But figured I'd throw it in here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously this is for if you want to play on the original computer versus running an emulator.
Yeah, and all your floppies are degrading at this point.
So the next article is called "The Rarest N64 Game Isn't What You'd Expect." So before I read this article, because I skipped this one, because I on purpose was going to see if I could guess it. Mm-hmm. Is it Clay Fighter 33 and a third?
You're so close.
Okay.
There's a re-release of it called Clay Fighter Sculptor's Cut.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing, but yes. The Blockbuster exclusive version, correct?
Yes. So what made it a Blockbuster exclusive? Other than you could only get it at Blockbuster. Could you only get it at Blockbuster.
That's right. That's the definition.
But, I mean, did they change the game at all to make it harder or
anything? It's been a while since I've read about this game. I think it was slightly updated.
It's not a secret that Clay Fighter 33 and a third is one of my least favorite games.
Yeah, I don't like Clay Fighter. I've played them very, very slightly and have no interest in owning this, like, super expensive version of it.
No. The runners-up are Yoshi's Story International version and Stunt Runner 64. Both are very expensive, but
yeah.
I guess the international version was just for demo kiosks. So you win the contest.
So I saw this next article that you added to the news, and I at first thought this was going to be the coolest article ever until I actually read it.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of not what you think it would be. Programmer has made 1993's Doom playable on a pregnancy test.
Yes.
Underneath it should say kinda.
Kind of. What he did is he hacked a pregnancy test, remove the internals, put different internals in, and having to connect them to the little LCD screen that I guess is supposed to say pregnant or not pregnant. I don't know. I haven't really thought about home pregnancy tests in a long time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That makes my blood pressure rise just thinking about that. Yeah, so cool, I guess.
Well, it's really just, you're making Doom playable on something that people already have made Doom playable on, but you're connecting it to a really, really small screen.
Yeah, yeah. That's about...
Still a lot of effort and still cool, but not as cool as actually hacking the home pregnancy test to play Doom.
Yeah, yeah. I do wonder what kind of electronics it has in there. Like, what kind of...
Oh, I'm sure it has some sort of CPU that is well beyond the requirements needed to run Doom.
Probably.
Battery-free Game Boy. Solar-powered Game Boy.
This is a long article. I read most of it. These guys built a battery-powered Game Boy, these guys built a solar-powered Game Boy, but it's not as simple as it seems, because one of their requirements was no battery. So they had to hack it or, create the operating system where right before the Game Boy is about to turn off, because anytime it loses light, it's going to turn itself off, it quickly saves the state. So right when it comes back on, you can continue playing.
Mm-hmm.
That does
so that's completely useless. Like,
oh yeah, this is a very useless project.
Because if it had a rechargeable battery, that would at least make sense. But unless you're like in Arizona, you're not going to get to play this Game Boy very much.
And sound would use too much power, so it doesn't play sound.
Yeah, I mean, it's an awesome project. Like, this is sort of like the last one, right? Where kudos for building this thing. Like, I couldn't figure this out.
It makes me wonder why. I mean, there's a lot of real estate on a Switch, on the top of a Switch. Like, throw some solar panels on there. Let's get some more life out of these batteries.
Yeah, because solar panels at that size really don't. You have to leave that Switch in the sun a long time to charge the battery. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Really small solar panels like that, they just don't work well, man. I at some point had like a thing you could like put in your office window and then you could connect your cell phone to it. Mm-hmm. And I guess if like you charged your cell phone for like 96 hours, you could get it up to 10%.
Oh, that's sad. Well, yeah, if they had a battery in this, though, it would be a little better. But more Game Boy hacking news.
Yeah, so what is this crazy Game Boy hack?
So this guy, we reported on one or two things he's done before. This is just a guy who is kind of bored,
mm-hmm.
who just modifies Game Boys. So he'll put a second screen on a Game Boy SP Advance.
Yeah. We talked about that, the double SP screen.
Yeah, he made an original Game Boy much longer.
For no reason.
For no reason.
And yeah, that's exactly what he calls it.
Yeah.
So it's just a regular Game Boy, but it's longer. I would prefer this to the solar-powered one, if I had to walk around with one of them.
The longer one kind of makes sense. You wouldn't have to either hold it up as high or have your head pointed down as much. So it might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, and you look cool with it. That's the important part.
You could
if you had a game that had moves or codes, you could like, you know, on that big empty space, you could put the codes or the walkthrough.
Yeah,
or
that's
something.
A good idea. Yeah. You could fit 8 more batteries in there. But yeah, so just some guy that's bored and has some fun projects. So that's on inputmag.com.
Hey, speaking of Phantasy Star Online, there's an interview with the developers out on Polygon.
Yeah, I didn't get through much of this other than them talking about how Diablo really inspired the game.
Yeah, I've never thought of this game being similar to Diablo.
No, but I guess I could see where it was like a starting point. Like, I don't know, but and they talk about what parts of Phantasy Star lore got into this and what didn't. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
not
it's a
ton.
Pretty long interview.
Yeah,
and they talk about that. Yeah.
And let's see, leaked documents reveal Nintendo considered releasing a portable HD GameCube. That would have been my favorite system of all time if they released that.
The specs of this look great. Now, I want to clarify to our listeners that this is not a GameCube Classic Mini we're talking about. This is like a real portable, like a Vita, but a GameCube.
Yeah, it's a competitor to the PSP or Vita.
Yeah, in 2005, it would have the power to match the Xbox 360. It also would have a dock. So it was pretty much a Switch.
Mm-hmm.
An optional TV tuner, an MPEG-4 encoder.
So they would have released this in 2005. So it obviously would not be nearly as powerful as the Switch, but it would be a very, very powerful system for 2005.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the GameCube was more powerful than the PS2, right? And if I remember this right, the PS3 came out, what, in like 2006?
2006. Yeah, I think the PSP and Wii were both 2006.
So you would have something that's more powerful than PS2 in your hand, mm-hmm. in 2005. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, because you didn't get really, until the Vita came out, you didn't have something more powerful than the PS2 that was handheld.
My guess is this never got past this stage because it would have lasted for 30 minutes on a battery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you're lucky.
Those ATI chips, like, those sucked a lot of power. Yeah, I agree. This would have been one of my all-time favorite systems.
And then is this our main topic? All the new Mario stuff you're going to be able to get soon?
Kinda. I mean, we didn't have a real topic, so I put this last because I figured it'd be something we talk about the most, because there's Mario is 35. So our Super Mario Brothers is 35.
35, yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. But
So which of these games? So there's a whole bunch. I mean, obviously, if you're listening to the show, you've heard the announcements of the variety of games coming out. So let's just run down the list real quick here. Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which is, I mentioned pre-ordering and you pre-ordered, which is like Mario Galaxy, Mario Sunshine, Mario 64, all remade or improved for the Switch.
Yeah, upscaled. Yeah.
Upscaled, is that the right term? Are they upscaled or are they remade?
They're upscaled. They are not remade. In fact, I heard that Mario 64 isn't even widescreen. Like, you're going to have black bars on the side of your Switch screen.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going to notice the difference.
And I wonder why Galaxy 2 is not on there.
So they can sell it to you later?
Probably.
Yeah. So what is this Game & Watch one?
So it's a Game & Watch hardware thing that has Super Mario Brothers, the Lost Levels, and then I guess there's a ton of secrets you could find in this thing. I guess, like, a ton of secrets. Possibly other games, possibly mini games, maybe new things. So
okay.
So I don't know if I'm going to pick that one up, but it's really intriguing. Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, which I think is a new game.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence about this one. I just played through Super Mario 3D World on the Wii U like last year.
See, I didn't even know it existed.
Okay, this is actually a really, really good Mario game. I like this better than like new Super Mario Brothers.
That's what a lot of people have been telling me.
Yeah.
I kept thinking like, wait. Like, they said, and I read Super Mario 3D World, but in my head that translated to 3D Land. I was like, wait, I played 3D Land and this isn't that. So
yeah, different game.
I was very confused at first. Yeah. And you haven't played Tetris 99 yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, I'm very excited for Super Mario Brothers 35 because they Tetris 99'd it.
So that's what it is. It's Tetris 99, but for Mario.
But with Super Mario, but it's different than that because they also think of it as a... Please don't hate mail me for this, listeners, but it's almost like a multiplayer roguelike Super Mario Brothers because it's procedurally generated. You're playing against 34 other people.
Okay.
Where if you get coins, that helps you. If you kill enemies, they go to other players' screens. And so it looks a lot like Super Mario Brothers, but it's different every time. And
do I have to play against 34 other people?
Well, in Tetris, which is Tetris 99, which is free, you could pay, which I did, to get an AI version of it. And I couldn't tell the difference. And honestly, that's why I would love you to play that game even just once or twice, because I couldn't tell the difference between online and offline. And now I usually only play online because it's not like the actual internet where everyone's garbage and screaming at each other.
Uh-huh.
You can't talk to each other. You don't see each other. It's just other beings in the universe playing Tetris against you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So AI or not, it didn't make any difference to me. and I thought it would. So I'm sure I'll have the same feelings about this one.
And I think probably most importantly of everything they're doing right now, Super Mario Jenga.
I bought it for my kid.
I've not bought it yet, but I probably will.
It's really light. So, you know how Jenga pieces kind of have a heft to them?
Yeah, because they're wood.
Yeah, these do not. They're hollow plastic.
Okay.
But it's really cheap. I would say buy it. Anyway. What did you think about... What's the Mario Kart... Home Circuit? Is that what it was called?
It's you're driving actual cars? What is that? It's a Hot Wheels set?
So it is a like RC type racer that has a camera on it. And you get four or five little finish line looking things that you put around your house. And it figures out the best way to make a lap out of the configuration you make. And you could play against other people, and it's AR. So you're using your Switch, or multiple Switches if it's more than one person, and you're watching the camera from the little cart that's driving around for real. And if you get hit by, like, you know, a AR turtle shell or something, your car actually stops. You know, stuff like that.
Okay.
You could slow down the other person. You could get boosts up, stuff like that. So, if your whole house is hardwood floor, then you're good to go with this. But if your whole house is carpet, you're probably out of luck.
Yeah, there's no way this would work in my house.
But I just think this is a fantastic idea. It's my house is probably, like, there's no area in my house I think this will work.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we do have some hardwood, I just think, like, there's just not enough open space. Not a very big house, so but still, I just think, you know, you could take this outside too, you know, but it's horrible 9 months out of the year in the Midwest outside, so maybe not, but I don't know. I hope this thing is fantastic, and I'll wait till it comes out and read some reviews
about my house, there's no possible place I could set that up right now.
And your kids are probably a little too old for it, too.
They're not really going to be into this, yeah.
So, but yeah, that Mario 35 is only available. That was our intro joke until March 31st, 2021.
Yeah, it's a weird thing they're doing. Limited time, Mario 3D All-Stars 2, right? They're only going to sell it for a limited time.
Yeah, and apparently it's already all over eBay.
So which is weird. Can't you just order it from Amazon still? Is Amazon sold out?
Well, I haven't looked.
Let me look here. Oh, it is sold out on Amazon. Look at that. Currently unavailable.
So we are lucky people that got in our orders early.
Huh. Oh, and while I was on Amazon, I happened to notice that Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 was on sale for like $19.99 for Switch. I don't know if it still is, but I ordered that. So I don't know if you would like Baldur's Gate, but it's a good like 90s game, and I like the first one a lot.
I have them on Steam.
Okay.
I've been waiting until I get through them a little bit to maybe pick them for a Game of the Week, Game Club games. I don't see the Game & Watch available yet. I'm looking at Best Buy now because that's where I found everything before. And looks like no dice. Maybe it's not for sale yet. Which means very soon it will be on eBay. Huh, you could buy on Best Buy, you could buy digital games?
Yeah, you can buy it on Amazon too.
Huh.
Strange. Yeah, you just get like a code. I don't know how they make money on that.
Yeah, that's weird. But yeah, so what's your takeaway from all this? You think they did Mario a good 35th birthday?
I don't like the limited time thing. I think, again, Nintendo does a lot of things that, like, optimize scalping.
Yeah.
And this feels like another thing they're doing that is optimizing scalping.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of strange. Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention one part, that Super Mario All-Stars is on the Switch Online.
Mm-hmm.
You could get that now.
Right, that's just if you pay whatever Nintendo $20 a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Although you could play those three games individually too, already.
And they're doing, yeah, you're right. They're doing a few other things that are pretty cool. Like one of the few online games that I mean, personally, one of my all-time favorite modern games, Splatoon 2.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do some Mario events, which I'll try to get in on. Super Mario Monopoly. I didn't see that.
I must have 10 different things called Super Mario Monopoly. That's definitely not a new concept. I have many different variants of Nintendo Monopoly, I should say.
I thought, you know, a lot of people were kind of hard on this. I thought Nintendo did an all right job. I agree with the limited run thing, but...
Right, I think outside of the limited run thing, this is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, they should do it like Limited Run Games does it, where it's a time period, not a set amount of items, you know? Where... I mean, I get... The Mario 35 thing is a time thing, but that's different. I just mean, like, for the pre-order.
Right. I mean, I think Nintendo is... I don't know. I one day can picture Nintendo basically saying, like, hey, we rented this island off the coast of Dubai, and we put a cage around it, and what we're going to do is we're going to drop the cartridges in there, and you have to fight to the death over them.
Yeah.
I don't think they're that far off of doing that.
Yeah, Mario, I mean, they made Mario Rabbids. They could do some other crossovers, like Hunger Games Mario.
Yeah, where, exactly. Like, yeah.
The competitors could be Mario, Peach, Toad, and Luigi.
Yeah. Only you, in real life, have to maim other people to get a copy.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It'll be in their game park. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Should we move on to the game club?
Yeah, let's do that.
So, yeah, I picked Atlantis, and I played it on the 2600. So this is an interesting game. This is an early game,
mm-hmm.
Well, for me at least. It's 82, and it's a, I want to say, Missile Command-like game where you're Atlantis and you have three different, I guess, missile or gun stations. So if you press the button, it shoots the middle one straight up, or you could push a direction right or left and hit the button and it shoots the right or left diagonal at the side of the screen guns. And you have, I guess, space invaders trying to blow up Atlantis. And This game only ends badly. Like, there's no end game where you win. It's just once you die, you fly away to a different planet. So I guess you mostly survive, but once there's like little city looking things, almost like I said, Missile Command, where once they blow up your middle gun, then the cities are defenseless.
Yeah.
So this was one of those games, too, where you can take a picture of your high score and send it in and then get a limited edition Atlantis 2, which I think is just a harder, like a faster Atlantis.
It is, and I think it's also, like, super expensive now.
Oh, I bet, yeah. I only played the 2600 port, but I watched a video of the Intellivision one, which didn't look as fun, but looked like it had better graphics.
Oh, it does for sure. Simple. Yeah, yeah. And the Intellivision one is the one, of course, I have the most experience with.
Okay.
And yeah,
I like this game.
Yeah, it looks better. definitely. I mean, I don't, we have some listener feedback too, you know, so I would say like the Intellivision version of Atlantis is much, much more like Missile Command.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This is a good game. I mean, I could only get like 30,000 points, which isn't that much at all. But I would recommend this game. Again, you're not going to play over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It gets old kind of quick. I really couldn't figure out a strategy. I kind of just mashed buttons.
Yeah, I don't think there is much of one.
Yeah, I didn't really see a pattern forming, but yeah, that's about all I have to say on that one. Pretty simple game.
Yeah, it's simple. I think it's kind of fun. I'm of course biased towards the television version, but the 2600 one is fun too. It's sort of like maybe an easier version of Missile Command.
Yeah. I don't know. Missile
easier Command controls, easier. I should say.
Yeah, yeah. And is this on any Intellivision collections?
It might be on like one of the Intellivision collections where they had the third party games. Intellivision Rocks, it might be on. It's not on the Intellivision Flashback. I mean, this is the problem when, you know, some of these companies, like, I don't know who owns the Imagic IP at this point. Mm-hmm. I guess I could just find that out. It was liquidated in 1986 and can't see who bought the IP for it.
Yeah, it might be a mystery at this point.
Yeah. Which is too bad. They have a lot of good IP. I mean, I thought they were kind of a, maybe not A-list, but let's say B-list Intellivision developer. Mm-hmm. I mean, they made some games that were really good. They made some games that are really annoying. but yeah, I guess somebody probably doesn't even know they have the IP.
Yeah, so we will never see an Atlantis remake.
Well, what you do is you remake it and then you see who sues you.
Yeah. Yeah. You could end up like id and see that no one owns it.
Yeah.
Like what they did with Wolfenstein.
Or find that whoever owns it just doesn't care.
Yeah, yeah. Wanna move on to your game?
Yeah, so I did NBA Live 98. Which I did the Sega Genesis version. It is, of course, one of the last Sega Genesis games. It's not technically the last licensed Sega Genesis game, but it's one of the last four. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's on a bunch of other systems. I went with the Genesis version just because I'm kind of partial to it. And it's actually really a lot of fun. Like, the early games in the NBA series on Genesis, I think, kind of suffered from being way too slow. And they made them not a lot of fun. And then you got games like NBA Jam, which are, not realistic, but were super fast. So I think that maybe convinced EA that they had to kind of pick up the pace of the NBA Live games a bit. And by 98, that's a game that's, you know, it's not NBA Jam paced, but it's pretty fast. And the controls have really tightened up. The graphics are great. It's it's pretty much as good as you can get on the Sega Genesis, I think. It still is in this weird situation where, you know, Michael Jordan's not in the game, even though he was a player at the time. So instead, there's like a Washington football team situation where it's just Bulls roster player, I think is his name.
Wow.
So they have to do stuff like that. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I got into it because I've been watching this holographic NBA thing that's going on right now. I actually really like the NBA games right now.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd is a little bit weird. It almost would be better if they were empty, but yeah, I think it's a game. I like it better than most games made after it. I think
most
basketball
games.
Yeah, because I think NBA games kind of declined. Like, I don't think they were very good on the PlayStation. I think by Dreamcast, the 2K games were pretty good. And now I think they're back to kind of being garbage. They mostly seem like, to be kind of blunt, they seem like gambling games that you occasionally play basketball in.
I don't know enough about them.
Yeah, they're all really focused on like trying to unlock, you know, buying virtual money to unlock stuff in the game. And like, you don't really have loot boxes, but you have like these, I just flat out call them gambling mini games. So I don't know, not a fan of the newer ones.
I played this one on the PlayStation thinking like, you know, it's going to be a PlayStation garbage 3D game.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. It played great. I emulated it in RetroArch.
And, yeah. So you didn't have load times.
Exactly. Yeah. It was fantastic. And
yeah, that makes a pretty big difference in this game.
One thing that is pretty funny is that, you know, you don't have to play this game. You can, like me, accidentally not pick a side, and then the computer just plays itself.
Mm-hmm. Which is the default setting, right? If you don't choose a side.
I couldn't figure out what was going on. It took me a good 3 minutes to realize. It's like handing a kid a controller. Like, yeah. It's like, what am I doing? Because eventually I would hit a button and someone would shoot, and I'd be like, did I do that? So, yeah, that is so strange that the default setting is no one gets to play. So I guess you could have the PlayStation just do an entire season against itself?
Well, it's good for demo units, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you just want to do like a demo, like if you're running a store in 1997 and you need a demo unit game, right, you can just have that play itself.
Yeah, yeah. Again, weird default.
Yeah, I don't get why that's the default menu option. Like, I would certainly not do that either.
But yeah, it played great. Pretty easy to pick up once I figured out how to actually assign a controller. But yeah, I was delightfully surprised by this one. And
all right, so what do you want to talk about next time?
I just heard someone talking about this game, and it's one I know, but I haven't played in a long time, and I just figured I'd throw it in here. The New Zealand Story, because why not?
Is this on the TurboGrafx Mini? I don't think so.
I don't think it is. It should be, because it was a pretty popular game on it.
Yeah, no, it isn't. It is not. I don't know why. I always think of it as being like a PC Engine game. Even though I know it's on, like, everything.
I think it's because it's a very Hudson-like game. But the Taito arcade port is what we have linked to archive.org. How about you?
I hear they're going to attempt to start a football season in a couple days. I don't know how long the season's going to last. But we'll see. I hope it works out. I really do. So I decided I'm going to pick a football game, and I'm going to go with Mattel Electronics LED football. So I have an original of this and a repro. This is not, I did not say LCD, LED. This is the one with the little red lights.
So how do our listeners play this one?
I don't know, because there's not an emulator for it. I think you can buy this. First of all, I think you can flat out buy this at Target. I think they still sell the repro units. Otherwise, we'll put a link out. I think there's like a, I believe there's an Android version of all things.
It must be, because Amazon has it for 99 cents. So it must
okay.
be for their.
Right. So Amazon has it for 99 cents, or you can buy it. You can buy a physical one from Amazon for $14.99.
I'd go with the 99 cent one.
Yeah, yeah. Unless, you know, you just like having this sitting around at your desk. But yeah, I got this thing for like $9.99. You know, I got the repro for like $9.99. I don't remember what I got the original for, probably even less than that. I'm kind of surprised there is not a JavaScript version of this. There has to be, right?
I feel like there has to be too.
You can Google that, but there has to be a JavaScript version somewhere. So it's a very simple game, but it's actually, it's a, you know, early game. It was made in 1977 originally. And it's a lot of fun. It really is. For how simple it is, it's a lot of fun.
No, I don't see one. Don't see one up there.
Yeah, I have legit played this like a lot. So I used to, on a previous job, I had one of these. I think I had my Repro one on my desk, and it was just like a good little, like, you know, 2 minute stress relief thing.
Nice, nice. Well, cool. If our listeners play any of these games or any of our old games or any retro games at all, if you have any projects you're working on or just want to talk about retro stuff, please email us, email@retrogameclub.net. That is email@retrogameclub.net.
So again, email from Joe here, and we've been talking a lot about treasure hunting games, and he's recommending a new homebrew game called Jesse Jager and Cleopatra's Curse. It is going to be coming to the Genesis and TurboGrafx-16 soon. I looked at the demo video of it here, and it looks pretty fun.
Nice.
Looks like a lot of fun. So I think when this is officially when this Kickstarter launches, we should definitely plug this game. It looks really good. I guess last episode we were talking about classic gaming setups, and he talks about having a Master System and NES hooked up to a CRT. He prefers the CRT TV, even though that's not going to be an option forever. He says, of course, it's more convenient to emulate games, especially if you have a good front end. And he really does like, you know, retro RGB and other resources like that, but doesn't want to spend all of his time, like, kind of nitpicking on the absolute best way to, you know, to get the game to look. Mm-hmm. Which I'm kind of in that same boat. Was a big fan of Atlantis of 2600. Again, mentioning that it was a lot like Missile Command. And he used to play NBA Live 98 all the time on the PC. Back then, the fully 3D accelerated graphics were, you know, well ahead of anything else. And he was also part of a non-modem online league. This is funny. You would play exhibition games and submit your scores via a text form. Because again, this is right kind of on the cusp of when, like, everybody had a modem.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is kind of weird seeing the new NBA 2K games that are not only played completely online, but that there are people who actually earn money playing them in basketball leagues. Yeah, I don't. In my predictions for this upcoming decade, I kind of predicted that at least one major network would end up running like esports on Sundays or Saturdays, you know, when there weren't other major sports playing. And he also said he tried the Genesis version of Live 98 and thought it was pretty good. That holds up really well for something of that age.
It really does. I was really surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the kind of thing because, you know, of the era it was in, you know, I think a lot of people have fond memories of that era of the NBA. It's a game you could probably re-release in some form and people would buy it. Let's see. Majors writes in, I think you were talking last time or maybe the time before about not going back to the PlayStation 1 very often. And he...
It sounds like me.
It sounds, yeah. Sounds like something I would say too. And he recommends a game called Xanax X Xanax. I tell you, there are a lot of days I could go for Xanax X Xanax.
I was just going to try to make a joke, yeah.
Yeah. Haven't played this. I've heard of this game. I've heard this game quite a few times, but I've not played it. Let's see. Ultrabox. Yeah, commends me for finishing the Ultrabox discs, but is sad that now they can't be an RGC drinking game. Yeah, I'm never going to talk about Ultrabox again.
If you Google Xanax X Xanax, it autocorrects and you do not get a video.
Oh, it changes you to Xanax X Xanax?
And then even when you say, no, I meant it with a Z, it still autocorrects.
It takes you to the good Xanax.
Wow.
Wait. Yeah, you're right. Even if you go, no, I meant Xanax with an X, it's still, or Z, whatever.
I'm on page 5 of Google right now and still no Xanax video game yet. Anyway.
Wait, are we not spelling it right? No, but I did find what appears to be an independent game. Ah! Sorry, PlayStation Store just crashed when I searched for this. There is something nefarious going on here. All right, Raspberry Pi in a Game Gear. His first reaction to that was, where did they put the option buttons? I guess we should mention that, is that they actually have, like, carved, they've added the option buttons to the case.
It's, here we go. It's Z-A-N-A-C.
Z-A-N-Z, ah.
C, C.
C. Zanic. Aha, Zanic. That's the problem.
There we go. There we go.
Yes, and Zanic on the NES, I remember now.
Yeah, this looks cool. Anyway.
All right, so enough antidepressant talk for one day. importing Japanese games. So he mentions that he's been importing Japanese games since at least 1991. Being a TurboGrafx guy, you sort of had to if you wanted to keep playing the system. Also, in the early days of magazines, showing off import games and previews of Japanese games that might come to America. Recently, he finds himself buying older Japanese consoles that he has no nostalgia for at all, but is curious to try. He's mostly blaming COVID for that, because of having more time to just browse auctions.
Yeah, he's bringing all this up because I said I don't collect Japanese stuff because I just kind of collect for nostalgia purposes. Mm-hmm. I never imported back then, and he did, so he has nostalgia for it.
For import, right, if you imported or went to the Die Hard Game Fan store or whatever. Atlantis, he always says that Imagic was right behind Activision as his third-party developers went. He says it reminded him of the Intellivision release, which he enjoys much more because, like I mentioned, plays a lot like Missile Command, giving you more shot angles, and the graphics are a big improvement. And he has a side note here about using Atlantis to test a broken Intellivision. So he had an Intellivision that would only display a blank screen when powered on with a game card. But with Atlantis, it would at least boot with some graphic corruption. And I guess, as he notes here, the Imagic developers bypassed the Mattel BIOS. So that's how he determined it was probably a bad BIOS ROM in the Intellivision. Huh, I did not know about them. They must have written their own OS or something for the Intellivision. Mm-hmm. And last up here, first game you 100%ed. So we said Super Mario Bros. On the NES is probably the first game he finished. It's mostly by process of elimination, because that was the first console he had, and Super Mario Bros. Was the pack-in game, and it was the only game he had for quite a while. He borrowed Metroid from a friend at one point, but he remembers he could not get past the first vertical corridor because he did not have the Morph Ball, which I think a lot of people make that mistake early on.
That's funny.
So eventually he ended up buying it, and after he owned it, he actually could figure it out a little bit better. And that he doesn't think he's ever 100% completed any game.
Huh. What about you?
I've definitely 100% completed many games.
I mean, what do you think your first was?
Oh, first? So it was probably the Dungeons & Dragons game on Intellivision. I'm trying to think of a game that had, like, an ending. You know what I mean? Like, you do stuff and then you see some sort of ending. And that ending was just a picture. It was just a map with, like, a, you know, sound.
Yeah.
But that's probably the first game that I won. Because I can't really think of an earlier game than that. That had an ending. What about you?
Mine was either Kratika or, which I know I'm mispronouncing, or the first King's Quest game.
Okay.
Probably one of those two.
That's right. We were talking about doing a King's Quest episode sometime, right?
I started the notes, yeah. Okay. So they're getting lengthy.
All right. I got to go back and play the old ones.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah.
I should do a nice binge day of King's Quest games.
If you have a FAQ, you could get through them pretty quickly.
Well, do they run... I know they're not ScumVM games, but ScumVM supports a bunch of stuff. Does ScumVM support King's Quest now?
I'm pretty sure. I just ran it straight in DOSBox, and then at one point, you know, Steam had them for like 17 cents, you know, and I picked them all up.
But, oh, well, look at that. It does.
What, Steam or Scum?
Scum plays the AGI and SCI versions. It's the graphics, I assume, right?
Yeah, so that's both the original and, I think, VGA upgraded.
Yeah, it looks like they are supported.
Get on it. You have some research to do.
Yeah.
I'll finish those notes so we can record that episode. But Trash Turkey writes in, he's wondering if it's too early to ask about Black Friday deals. What retro modern games do you think will be on sale this year that you'd like to pick up?
I just read that everyone's canceling Black Friday this year.
Well, they're canceling going shopping on Thanksgiving Day, right?
Oh.
Black Friday's still going to be a thing.
Well, the site that I used to check for years and years and years, bfads.net, they now have a message saying, thank you for 14 amazing years. The BF Yikes. Ads website is no longer active.
Yikes.
So, I don't think it was COVID that killed them. There is a competing site that I was not as fond of called blackfriday.com. Of course, they have the better domain name, but bfads.net, I actually thought, had like a better search and better listings. And they have not started to post Black Friday ads yet, so it's too early.
I think my answer to this question is I already bought all my Black Friday stuff because Nintendo pretty much got all my money for the rest of the year this week. I'm officially broke for a while because of them.
Okay. Well,
and also, there's supposed to be a big Sonic announcement too, so we'll see.
So, I think the only Black Friday sales right now that I'm thinking about are like the Switch eShop. Like, there's a big bunch of games on there that I suspect will go down to like 25 cents. So, yeah, I will probably spend Black Friday mostly perusing the Switch eShop. I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like the stores this year will probably be focused on Xbox Series X, Box One. What is it called?
Xbox Series X, and then the Xbox Series S for the cheaper one.
Like, I'm buying the Subaru Outback Series Subaru.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
It makes no sense at all. So, who knows what they're thinking.
Yeah. All right. So, yes, it's too early to think about Black Friday deals. Perhaps if there's something interesting, we will talk about them.
I'm sure, yeah. Didn't we have kind of a Black Friday show last year, maybe?
Not much. Well, and the problem is that, you know, when you look at, like, retro game stuff, the Black Friday sales in the past few years have really kind of declined, and it's kind of just down to like, here's some piece of garbage at games is selling this year, right?
Yeah,
it's a lot of that.
I mean, the last few years they had a few interesting things, like the Oregon Trail handheld was kind of neat.
Yeah, Oregon Trail handheld is pretty neat, but that's been out for a while now. I don't know if there's anything else.
And I've been on Steam and PlayStation Network for so long, and they have the summer sale, they have Black Friday, they have right after Christmas sales where all the games are a dollar. There's nothing else I could buy on these.
Yeah.
There's no other old games, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's no, like, big collections out right now. So I'm not real optimistic this is going to be a good Black Friday for retro game stuff.
Yeah, we'll see.
And again, you're not going to a physical store, probably. Let's just be really blunt, like, I already hated shopping on Black Friday, but now, like, I get to go shopping and I get to hear someone, like, berate a clerk over some kind of store safety policy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't need this.
It's not going to be a good scene. It is not going to be a good scene.
Yeah. Again, be nice to people who work retail and stuff right now.
Yeah, they have it rough enough as it is right now. Believe me.
Do you want to get the social media feedback?
Yeah. So yeah, Zach, thank you, Zach, for doing our social media stuff. Yeah, he asked what was the first game you finished, first game you 100%ed. And we had a few answers. River City Ransom, Karateka and Apple II, and Super Mario Brothers 3, and Final Fantasy 2 on SNES. And yeah, so thank you everyone who wrote in, email or social media. That's email at retrogameclub.net or facebook.retrogameclub.net if you want to go straight to our Facebook, or at RGC Podcast on Twitter. And we've been getting a lot of new listeners lately, so please, if you're a new listener, we would love to hear from you. If you're an old listener and you email us all the time, we still love to hear from you. But kind of playing these games and interacting with you guys is the whole point of this podcast. So thank you to all the new and old listeners, and I think that wraps up episode 61.
Yeah, so thanks for listening.